Yes, thank you, operator. And good morning, everyone. Great to be here. And thank you for joining us for the presentation of the first half 2024 results. I'm here with our CFO, Pascal Perita, our Chief Risk Officer, Volker Gloe. And as usual, we'll walk you through the presentation and then look forward to taking your question. Let me start with our central messages. So look, overall, we're pleased with the first half results. Both income and revenue came in strong at plus 4%, plus 6% increase respectively. That's, of course, on the back of repricing activity that we continue, better fee income, and selective growth measures across the portfolio. It's also a testament that the new segment-based organization, which we introduced beginning of the year, in lending with personal loans and auto, and payments with cards and buy now pay later is in place, operational and delivering. We're very excited about the rollout of the leasing platform. You know, core banking platform upgrades are complex, and so this really is a key milestone in our transformation that will deliver sustained scalability and efficiencies going forward. Our cost income ratio has improved, and we have good visibility here as well on the 2026 targets. Contribution here both from growth as well as efficiency and streamlining of the organization. We're seeing good productivity progress across the operations. Loss provisions came in line with the guidance as we continue to manage for appropriate risk return balance across the books. Also feeling good about the funding mix, continues to be well diversified. We successfully launched our digital retail savings product. Very good response from the market, more on that later. And as that, such overall, we're also confirming our midterm targets and dividend outlook. Let me talk a bit about the first half performance in some more detail. Good start of the year, right? Net income up 4% at 78.3 million, revenues up 6%, particularly strong contribution from payments and cards. Net financing receivables up 2% with growth coming from all products, and loss performance at 1% in line with the guidance, overall delivering 12.7% ROE and Tier 1 capital at 17.1% for the first half. In terms of the products and the markets we operate in lending with personal loans, we continued very selective growth. We talked to you about this in the beginning of the year. That's going well for us. Clearly, continued strong focus on repricing and managing the price volume loss equation as we laid out previously. We're pleased with the 2% growth in net financing receivables in auto. Like the business, strong performance in terms of relationships to distribution continued here as well, focused on pricing and, of course, the full rollout of our leasing platform through all our dealers. Payments, particularly cards, a very strong first half. Net financing receivables up 3%, net revenue up 15%, clearly a signal that that our strategy in terms of customer retention post-migration has been working out. And overall, this leading to being well ahead of the commitments we shared for the payments business with you in February. With our app, we expanded. We now have over 420,000 customers live using the app. By now, Pelato, we completed the legal entity merger and really a strong focus here on profitable partnerships. While volumes are down, fees came in flat at 19 million. And with the Twint rollout, with the ability to tap into 5 million users with multiple partners that came live during the first half, we have good prospects for growth here as well. So overall, look, good performance, both in lending with very deliberate and selective growth and strong net revenue growth in payments. So let me hand over here to Pascal directly to go into details in the financial section.
Thank you, Holger, and good morning, everyone. The 4% increase in net income to 78.3 million is due to a strong 6% increase in net revenue, partially offset though by the anticipated post-COVID normalizations of the provisions for losses. Let me explain in more detail. The 6% increase in net revenue is a result of the repricing measures we started 2 years ago, leading to an 18% increase in interest income across our business for the first 6 months of the year. This was partially offset by the increase in interest expense following the continued holding of the funding portfolio. The commission and fees income continued to grow by 2%. This is due to the credit cards as a result of the focus on profitable customer segments. The buy now pay later business remained flat in the first half, due to portfolio considerations post-integrations with increased focus on profitable and strategic partnerships. As anticipated, the loss ratio continued to normalize in the reporting period and came in at 1% in line with the midterm target and representing a slight increase compared to the loss rate of 0.9% in the second half of last year. Volker will provide more details in a few minutes. The cost-income ratio declined by 3 percentage points compared to H1 2023. We realized cost savings as part of our strategic plan, offset by restructuring costs as we continue to invest in our strategic initiatives. I will detail operational excellence also in a few minutes. Let me now explain, though, the development of the NIM, the net interest margin. With the results publications of the full year 2023 in February 2024, we said that Q4 2023 was a turning point, with the increase in interest expense fully offset by additional interest income for the first time. You can see on this page with the walk what happens in H1 2024. First, in H1 2023, the net revenue has been largely flat. In H1 2024, it was +6% increase. The 36 million increase in interest income was able to fully offset the 23 million increase in interest expense. This contributed to the expected increase of the net interest margin. The higher interest income is our product was driven by the repricing measures, as well as over interest income from cash and investment securities. We confirm our guidance from February that we expect the net interest margin to continue to rebound to about 5.5% in the midterm 2025-2026 latest. On the net financing receivables and yield development, Cembra continued to grow all business areas, resulting in a 2% increase of financing receivables net to 6.8 billion. In the current market economic environment, we are pleased with the outcome of our selective growth in the lending and payment businesses. In the lower part of this chart, you can see the development of the yield. In personal loans, the yield increased to 7.2% from 6.6%, reflecting the continued decisive repricing measures. In auto, improvements from 4.7% to 5.3%. And in the credit card business, the strong increase in yield is more pronounced due to the short-term financing of this business. Now, I would like to hand over to Volker for an update on the provisions for losses.
Yeah, thank you, Pascal. As we saw on the page of the P&L, we report a loss provision of 35.2 million for the first half in 24, and with that, a loss rate of 1.0%. This is in line with our guidance and reflects the expected post-COVID normalization. In the context of this normalization, the loss rate has been gradually moving back to long-term trends, which you can clearly also see on the historic loss level chart on the upper left on this page. In the first half of 2023, the loss rate was at 0.7%. Then, as Pascal mentioned, 0.9% in the second half of 2023. And now we are back on a level of 1%. This is also reflected in the portfolio quality metrics, with a 30-plus delinquency on a level of 2.4% and NPL ratio at 0.8%, a slight uptick versus the prior year. And on this post-COVID normalization, you might recall that during the pandemic, we took portfolio actions and tightened our credit risk policies to avoid loss increases in an uncertain macro environment. Consequently, post-COVID, we reversed and changed the policies to allow for additional growth and for optimizing profitability. So this naturally leads to loss performance normalization that is partially lagged, though, as it takes some time until new origination vintages are maturing. This is how we manage, typically manage through a credit cycle, and shows our capabilities to steer the bank's loss performance. We see that reflected in the vintage performance as illustrated on the bottom left of this page. It shows that the originated accounts from the 2022 vintage, so the yellow line in the chart here, carry higher risk than the previous years that were originated during the pandemic, and that the vintage performance is now back to pre-COVID levels. With continued and diligent portfolio steering, we expect for the full year a loss rate of around 1%. In the first half, we have been observing individual pockets or segments in the portfolio where the currently somewhat adverse macro environment, and here we are thinking about cost of living, such as, for instance, energy expenses, health or rental expenses, have been affecting debt servicing capacities of customers in these segments. Following prudent risk strategies, and as we usually do in these cases, we have put measures in place to ensure a sound risk and reward balance. And risk and reward balance means that credit risk and loss performance should obviously not be seen in isolation, but as part of optimizing the overall profitability. We apply risk-based pricing mechanics that ensures adequate pricing for the risk that we are taking on our balance sheet. Consequently, when we report a higher loss rate in H1 24 compared to the same period in 23, it comes also with a higher yield at the same time. And that's exactly what we saw on the previous page. It is part of our Cemra DNA to constantly optimize between these dimensions of growth, credit risk and pricing, and to calibrate that towards our midterm targets. And with that, I hand it back to Pascal.
Thank you, Volker. Moving to operating expense. The expense remained stable at 135.2 million and the cost income ratio stood at 50.4%. If we adjust for the restructuring provisions of 2.7 million, the cost income ratio stood at 49.4%. Let me explain as all the restructuring provisions in more detail. In 2024, we announced a restructuring plan with the objective of enhancing operation efficiencies and optimizing cost structure. The restructuring plan also includes restructuring activities such as headcount as reductions. The total program costs were originally estimated to 3 to 5 million. As of 30th of June 2024, we incurred 2.7 million of the costs related to this restructuring program. The personal expense rose by 2% and are expecting clearly to decline in the second half of the year due to the streamlining of the organizations and the 11% reductions of full account equivalent FTEs between 30th June 2023 and 1st of July 2024. We are on track regarding cost savings for strategic transformations as well as from streamlining of our organizations. As a result of these ongoing transformations, we confirm a cost income ratio below 49% for the full year and a further decline to below 39% until 2026. Both cost savings from operation excellence and revenue growth will contribute to the reductions of the cost income ratio from 2024 to 2026. Let's move to the balance sheet. On the asset side, as mentioned earlier, we are pleased with the 2% increase of the net financing receivables, and the higher cash balance was driven by our continued disciplined funding management. On the liability side, the increase of funding is mainly driven by retail deposit growth. I will explain that in a few minutes. And ultimately, the shareholders' equity decreased by 3% to 1.1 billion. This is mainly driven by the dividend payout of 117 million in April 2024. Moving to funding. The funding balance at 30th of June increased by 188 million, mainly driven by deposits or retail fundings. We observed an increased demand for retail funding following the successful revamp of our savings account offering in January 2024. These are mainly retail products, savings accounts with withdrawal limits up to 20K and 1-3-6 month notice period above this limit, or median terms of deposit from 2-10 years. The retail funding increase allows us to reduce over funding source, leading to a more robust funding profile. This is reflected by an improvement of the NSFR to 124%. LCR remained elevated at 890%, and we reported strong liquidity metrics for the first half of the year. The end of period cost increased slightly from 147% to 162%. and we expect that the funding rate will start to stabilize following the two policy rate cuts and assuming current interest rate expectations. Moving to capital. Risk-weighted assets increase in line with the growth in net financing receivables. We remain very well capitalized with a strong Tier 1 ratio of 17.1%. Managing the capital in combination with growth and return on equity as is the core of our strategy until 2026. We expect the capital ratio to be slightly above the 17% target by the end of the year. With that, I would like to hand over to Holger for the outlook.
Great, thanks, Pascal. So look, let me give you some color here around what we've done in the first half in terms of delivering our strategic ambition and targets. And I'd say making good progress here across the board. In terms of our DNA, we're quite pleased in terms of the focus on delivering here, particularly as it pertains to repricing activity, cost discipline, and others. And operational excellence, really a key milestone here on upgrading the core banking platform with the full rollout of the leading product to our auto dealers, as this really sets us on a path to sustainable and significant efficiency improvements. So we're excited about that. The new savings product range has also been positioned well, generated significant inflows in the first half, and clearly we've been able to launch a strong proposition to the Swiss consumer base here. We further expanded our service center in Riga. We're pleased with the talent access. Recall this came to us through the acquisition of Byjuno. Strong quality of services and financial leverage. Look, it's a strong addition and a growing and ambitious team. We also talked about outsourcing select back office processes and pleased to confirm that this is going quite well with the service levels to plan or better and in line with efficiency expectations. In business acceleration, look, we now have an enhanced proposition to our partners in leasing, faster processing, and more product and service features going forward as we build out the platform. Payments, strong growth in net revenues. We're delivering on the cards payments game plan we articulated to you. We're working on extending partnerships, TCS, a key one for the first half. Pleased with that. And in our app, we launched a range of new features such as Click to Pay, Google Pay, and others. We also went live with a leasing product in our mobile app, taking another step in serving customers across products with a simple and intuitive engagement tool. New growth with Twint, the pay later consumer funded proposition is now available to the 5 million customer base they have. This is on the back of Worldline opening up their acceptance locations and merchant base. Post Finance came live, Raiffeisen, majority of the cantonal banks. We've got UBS and ZKB following shortly. With that, also nice growth in number of users. And last but not least, we launched a new merchant portal across the combined merchant base with the combination of the two businesses. We're pleased with the new organization that's in place and delivering. We launched campaigns around our brand refresh, which really underpin our position as a provider of unique product breadth across consumer finance and payments. That is also reflected in our financial targets you see on the right. We're really on track across the board for the full year and also going forward in terms of the metrics that we put out. So what does this mean for the rest of the year? We expect continued resilient performance. In lending, you know, our focus is continuing to be on profitable growth, both in personal loans and auto, quite deliberately managing the growth price loss triangle. And we'll also, of course, leverage the new platform for further efficiencies on the auto side. Payments continuing to move forward on the game plan we articulated to you around product density and propositions. We're excited and we see significant potential, as we said, to systematically serve the 2 million plus customers across the business. And to that end, we'll be improving and simplifying our instant onboarding process to tap into the buy now pay later customer base for cross-sell as we go forward. We're going to be expanding our app with new services, service features coming, and also build on expanding into the leasing customer base here. Again, making this more and more the center point of engagement for all our customers across the business. We'll continue to press ahead in operational excellence with new services and features to enhance our value proposition on the leasing platform, continued scaling of our service center in Riga, and further optimization of the outsource activities. All of this with a strong focus on benefits realization as we are in where we are in terms of the strategic cycle. So for the second half, first, with the measures we executed, whether it's on price, on cost, organization streamlining, we have good visibility for the financial performance for the second half. We expect net revenues to continue to outpace GDP. We'll see a further increase in the net interest margin and for the full year cost income ratio below 49%, loss performance around 1%, all as articulated by Pascal and Volker. With that and the resulting net income improvements in the second half versus the first half as anticipated in February, we'll deliver an ROE between 13 and 14%, and we also confirm our midterm targets. So in summary, I'd say good start of the year. We're particularly pleased with the net revenue growth in what we're seeing on the income side. Strong continued diligence in cost, loss management, and pricing. The core banking upgrade is a meaningful and critical step forward in terms of long-term sustainability and sustainable scalability and efficiency, and clear line of sight to H2 performance. So we look forward to the second half. With that, thank you so much for your attention. We look forward to taking your questions.